you were here last week, you know we began a new series in Proverbs chapter 3, and today we get to take the next couple of verses. Fact is, this is a good time. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open to Proverbs 3. We'll be there in just a minute. But I'll tell you what's exciting is to look at how God is expanding the amount of folks that are coming here. I see the room set up wider. It looks really good here, encouraged by that. But also really excited about how God's given you passion and vision for the next level and what God's going to do here in the future through For the City. So thank you for that. It's just such a joy to be able to be with you and be encouraged by being around you today. As I said, we started this passage last time, and one of the things we're doing as we walk through the book of Proverbs, really we're kind of focusing in on just one chapter, and not even the whole chapter. We're kind of hitting verses 1 through about 10 of chapter 3. But as we go through this, one of the challenges we've laid out, and I hope you've accepted, is to memorize it. Hopefully you're using this as time with your family. You're like, we've never done that before. I'm like, okay, that's why we're doing it now. This is a good time for you to do this, or in your connect groups as well. So who's got last time's verses? Let's hear it. See what you can do. Ready? My son, ready? Let's try it again. Ready? My son, do not forget my teaching. You got it. But keep my commandments in your heart. Remember this? For they will prolong your life for many years and bring you peace and prosperity. You're looking up there, but it's not up there. It will be in a minute. All right, let's try it again. Ready? My son, do not forget my teaching, right? But keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Okay, we'll put it up. Oh, you did put it up there. You cheated. All right. So you guys got that. Hopefully you're working on that. Seriously, it's really a very important thing, so hopefully you're doing that. Today we want to add another verse. And here's what it is. You can read it. It's the next two verses. It says this: let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. That's what we're talking about today. So read it with me. And as you read it, think about it, okay, so you can memorize it. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Read it one more time with me. Ready? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Think about it. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Okay, take it away and let's see what we can do. Well, what we do is we work on it. It's kind of a line at a time. So let's see how you can do this. We're just going to do the first line. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. You can do that, right? Try that. Ready? Let love and faithfulness never... Ready? Try it again. Let and never leave you. You got that part. Good. The next part of it is bind them. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. So we're just going to add that next line. So ready? Here we go. Let and never... You're doing good. That's great. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Try that much. Ready? Let never bind them. Write them on the... You got it. Then the last part's easy. This is the promise. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Try it with me. Ready? Let love and never... Bind them, write them on the, then you'll win good, then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. All right, really good. That's Proverbs 3:3-4, and so you can work on that this week. When you think about the Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, the first couple of verses give us the purpose of them. Here's what it says. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. And the purpose of these Proverbs is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand wise sayings. Through these Proverbs, people will receive instruction in discipline, good conduct, and doing what is right, just, and fair. These Proverbs will make the simple-minded clever. They'll give knowledge and purpose to young people. And let those who are wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. And let those who understand receive guidance. What a great book God has given us in the book of the Proverbs and Solomon's writing for us. Well, last week, we talked about the fact that all throughout Proverbs 3, you see sets. And in this set, you find a command and a promise. If you'll remember last week, as we just looked at, don't forget my teaching, keep my commands in your heart. They'll prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. You see the command and the promise, as well as in this passage that we're doing this week. And each promise is really more of a principle, right? It's a cause and effect. When you do this, this is what it will result in. When you do this, it'll result in this, of course, empowered by the hand of God. And so last week, we looked at the first two commands, right? Don't forget God's teaching, but store up, remember, memorize, put in God's commands into your heart. Because if you do this, God brings us the promise of long life and of peace in our life. Well, today we look at another command. Today's command is this: let others see or love others with a true heart. As we love, we're to love with a true heart. And you see that illustrated in our text because he talks about this idea: let love and faithfulness never leave you. And we're going to dive into what that looks like. Well, last week, the command dealt with our vertical relationship, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, right? We talked about His commands and storing them up in our heart and how that would work in our lives. Well, today, we're moving from that vertical to more of a horizontal relationship, our relationships with other people around us. I love this passage. In NIV, we memorized it. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you'll win. You'll find favor and good name in the sight of God and man. And then in New King James, I like it, how it says it. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. It changes that word. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And New American Standard says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And so as you look at this, there are a couple of different words that we see translated here. So as you look at your Bible, you might be like, why are there different words? Well, the Hebrew word for love is the word hested. I don't speak Hebrew, but it's the word hested. And the word faithfulness is the word emet. And these are some of the most commonly used words for God. They describe God and represent how He loves His people. Fact is, I think maybe the best translation of these words is found in the children's storybook Bible, the Jesus storybook Bible, where it just says, it says, God's never stopping, never giving up, always forever love. That's kind of what love and faithfulness kind of represent. And when you read that and you understand that, you begin to understand that's an incredible standard, a standard that you and I could never ever achieve. We couldn't love others like that. We couldn't love like that unless we're sourced by God's love in us. And as we see this, we start to understand what this means. I know this week, I've taught this passage two or three times, and as I was studying this week, I ended up spending maybe about 2 or 3 hours just focused on the context of this, because I began to look at it, because I've always taught this today, as we're going to talk about it today, about how to love other people. And I looked at it, and I started to read it, and I was like, what is that really saying? And I looked at commentaries, and I tried to dive in. Is it talking about God's love for me? Is it talking about how I should love God? Or is it talking about how I should love others? And you know, with Proverbs, there's no real context. There's just a couple of verses, and you kind of have to read them. And scholars were split all over the place. But you know, my conclusion is that it's talking about all three. Because when I begin to understand how God loves me, love and faithfulness that God shows to me, guess what? I learn how to love God like that. And as I learn how to love God like that, it spills over into how I love people around me. If you think about this, the whole idea of love and faithfulness is crazy. You see words like mercy and kindness and goodness. And so what this is loving God's style. It's loving from a heart that's true, not a fake heart, but a faithful, consistent, and loyal love. And when you see these ideas, as I said, you see them demonstrated in the character of God all throughout the Bible. Verses like Ephesians 2, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love by which He's loved us, even when we were dead, even though we were sinners, dead in our transgressions, God has made us alive together with Christ. You see, God's love for us is true. It's a faithful love that we can depend on. I love what Lamentations chapter 3, you may know this passage says. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We think about God when we think about how God loves us. We think of His love for us. We think of the truth in His love, or the genuineness, the faithfulness in God's love. Exodus 34 says, "The Lord God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding, overflowing with love and truth." Love and faithfulness in our life. So never forget this. If you're in Christ, you're loved by a faithful God. Someone just needed to hear that today. And I just want to remind you, if you're in Christ, you are loved by a faithful God who cares about you. His love for you is consistent. It's faithful. It's true. You can take it to the bank. And God loves you and I like that. Tim Keller said it this way. He said, "Put your heart's deepest trust in God and His grace. And every day remind yourself of God's unconditional, covenantal love for you." God loves you like that. And so we see this in this text. We see how God loves us. Love and faithfulness never leave you. God's love for us, how we are to love Him back. The fact is, we read about this and see a picture of this in how we should love God. So we see this, how God loves us. We see a picture in it, how we should love God. Some of the same words are used. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, you may know this passage. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one." Look at this. "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might." It talks about that true love. "And these words that I'm commanding you today shall be written or be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons when you sit in the house and you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up." And then look at these words. "And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead." When we read this here, we can see the same idea that the love God shows us is the love that we are to love Him with. And it's amazing. These commands teach us how we're to love God, right? God's love for us, of course, motivates us to love others. And as we understand and live in light of the gospel, we're motivated to love other people. So from this text today, you see how God loves me. You see how I am to love God. But then, in a practical way, you see how that love should spill over. We see this all throughout the Bible, how that love should spill over to others around us. And it's that I want to focus on for just a few minutes with you today. As you think about this, you see from this text how we are to love others. The first thing you see, I hope you'll jot this down, is that true love takes effort. You see it in the beginning of the text. Remember what we memorized? That love and faithfulness never leave you. When you think about love, that word love there is not a passive love. It doesn't mean love in that passive sense that a lot of us think of. You know, I love you, I care about you, I love my friend. It's not that kind of love. Actually, it's an active sense of love. It means love that's expressed. Some of the translations use the word kindness or goodness. It means deeds of devotion. You see, loving others, God's style, is an action. You know, when God loved us, God so loved us that He acted, right? That He sent His only begotten Son into the world. And God's love for us is how we love others. And it's that love expressed, right? And we know loving others isn't easy. It takes the power of God in our lives. I love Galatians 5 tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's in me, is love." That love that comes from God. Why is this? Because our natural tendency isn't towards loving others. Our natural tendency is toward loving who? Loving ourselves, right? Love from others, for others, comes from a love from God. It's not a natural thing in us. We studied this a few weeks ago, but this passage really connects well with what we're studying in Proverbs. Listen what John writes in 1 John 4. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And then look at this. "By this the love of God was manifested," or shown in us, "how? That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world." That's how we saw it, he says. "That we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the payment or propitiation for our sins." And then look how he ends this. "Beloved, if God loves you like that, then so you ought to love one another." Do you see this? We read it in Proverbs. "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart." As we see how God loves me and we return our love to God, as John tells us, that's how that love spills over to others. It takes effort in our life. And as we allow God to live through us, we can show love to other people. But it's not easy. It's not easy because people are not all that lovable, right? Let me ask you, are you hard to love? I know I am sometimes, right? But what does Jesus say about that? In Luke chapter 6, he talks about people that are hard to love. Look what he says. Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, Love your enemies. Now think about this. Whoever's in your life, the professor, you know, the roommate, the, you know, the person you can't stand in the class, the person at work, you know, a family member, whoever they are, the lowest that they could be in your life is an enemy. I mean, you can't go much lower than an enemy, right? And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer the other one also. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. And give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those, Jesus said, who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to other sinners, expecting to receive back the same amount. But Jesus said, but love your enemies. Do good to those and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. So be merciful just as your Father is merciful. When you read this passage, it's convicting. You begin to understand that God expects our love. Love and faithfulness, that love is an act of love. It takes effort in our life. It's not automatic. It's not easy to love people. But the second thing you learn from this text is that true love not only takes effort, but it takes commitment. Look what he says. He says, let love and, look at the word, faithfulness. Some of your Bibles use the word truth. It's kind of the same thing because it's talking about a true, genuine love. Faithfulness, enduring love, love that lasts. True love really lasts, right? So your love for others, the way that God loves you, you're loving God back, seeing how God loves you. Romans chapter 1 talks about this, that the way we see God's love is by creation around us. I mean, you look at an October day in Kentucky and, you know, you see God in that. And, you know, God's love is visible all around us. But God's love, as he loves us, we love him back, and then that love spills over. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. It spills over into the people that are around us. This is that enduring love. Let me ask you a question. Aren't you glad today that God loves you with an enduring love? Aren't you glad that God's love endures, that it lasts? I know I am today. I feel like I've tested God's love a lot. Like I've pushed it to the limit to see what God would really do, and he just keeps loving me. And the way God loves me, according to our text, is the way I'm going to have that love spill over to people around me. And by doing this, I show them God's love. That takes effort. That takes consistency. It lasts, right? The Bible talks about that a lot, but probably no better than 1 Corinthians 13. You know this passage, but look what it says. Paul writes, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I become like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have so much faith that I can move a mountain, are you kidding me? But I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I even surrender my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Think about the value that it's placed on love. And then it describes love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own way. It's not easily provoked. It doesn't remember or keep record of or take into account a wrong that has suffered. It doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. But God's love, God's style love, rejoices with truth. Bears all things, believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. God's love endures. It never fails. Let love, active love, not just saying I love somebody, but active love and faithfulness, love that endures, never leave you, he says. The third thing he teaches us from this text is that true love not only takes effort, it takes engagement to love your enemy. True love definitely endures. It lasts past just the initial I love you and shows for the long haul. But third, true love shows to people around you. Think about this. Look back to our text. Remember what we memorized? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. And then it uses this word, bind them around your neck. Did anybody else, when you heard that, go, what in the world does that mean? Bind them around your neck? Who talks like that, right? Well, what does he mean by this? Literally, he means to wear it out in front where everyone can see it. Let everyone see, let your neighbors see, people you work with, people in your family, let them see that love that shows from God. True love shows, right? And so you wear it out in front. That's what this means. You know, wear it like a necklace. Literally, the text kind of has the idea of a graceful ornament. Kind of wear it where everybody could see it. You know, kings in the time of this writing, most of the time wore a signet on a chain around their neck. Best as I could describe it today, it would kind of look like a medallion that you know, somebody that won the Olympics or something would wear. But they would wear this so that everybody, no matter what they were wearing, even though most of the time were royal robes, with this medallion, the signet would show everyone who they were. That's what this passage says. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Wear them where everyone can see them. Because listen, true love really shows, right? People can see this. They watch past it. A neighbor watches it. The lady who works beside you sees it in you. They see it for the long haul. But listen, the opposite is also true. Now, when you read about this, you read in John chapter 13 how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Why did he do this? Well, he did it as an example, right? To show us how we are to love and how we are loved. Kind of just like this passage, you know, how God loves us, we love God, and how that love spills over. Well, Jesus did the same thing. He said, look, I want you to feel love. I want you to see how I love you, but then I also want you to do this for others. Listen to what he says in John 13 at the end of that. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Look at this. Even as I've loved you, just like you've received the love and faithfulness from the Heavenly Father, like you've received it from me, like I've loved you, look at that you also should what? Love one another. And then look what he says, by this action, all men will see that you're my disciples. How? If you have love for one another. Let the love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Show them off like a medallion of God's love. Because listen, all of us have seen people and we've looked at them and said, if that's a Christian, I don't what? Want to be one. We've all heard this, right? He's saying the opposite of that. Wear your love in such a way that people see it and go, man, if that's what it means to follow Jesus, then I want Jesus. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. And then he adds this last line. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You see, because true love, it takes effort. True love lasts. It endures. True love shows to people. But from this last part of this text, you see that true love also flows from a true heart. It comes from the inside. When you think about this, he uses the word, write them on the tablet of your heart. What does that mean? Well, you think about a tablet. One of the best examples of this in Scripture is the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments were written on a tablet of stone, permanently written, used to govern our lives. This is the same idea. Why does he say the tablet of your heart? Well, the Bible uses the word heart a lot. And as you know, the heart is the throne room of you. It's where the throne is that you sit on, and either one of two gods sits on that throne, either you or God, right? This is why we talk about our hearts. We say to somebody we love, I love you with all of my heart, because it's the throne of our lives. I know it's gotten a lot of heat in the last several years, but you know, we talk about inviting Jesus into our heart. What do we mean by that? We mean that he's going to sit on the throne of our lives. He's going to be the boss of us. And it's the same idea here. He says, write them on the tablet of your heart, because true love flows out of a true heart. It's the place that reveals who you really are. So let me ask you, when you love others, what's your motive for that love? What's my motive for that love? What's coming from my heart? Is it to be noticed? Is it so people will look at me and go, wow, what about you? Or is it because I want somebody to love me back? If I love you, you're going to love me? Because guess what? That's not true love. That's a wrong motive. You see, true love's all about my motives. I'm not in it for me. It's not about me. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 6. Listen to what he says. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And then Jesus begins in Matthew 6, as you know, to teach about giving with a pure heart. And then he talks about praying with a pure heart. And then he talks about fasting with a pure heart. And then Jesus finishes that passage by saying this, but your father who is in secret, and your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your motive for loving. Write it on the tablets of your heart. Paul writes this in Galatians 1. He says, am I seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And then he says in Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1, but the goal of our instructions is to love, like we're talking about today, but love how? Out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So when you think about what we've memorized and what you're going to work on with your family this week, what does this mean? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. What does this mean? Well, as I read this, I begin to understand how God loves me. Man, God loves me with a true and genuine and giving, consistent love. And as I see God's love, I want to return that love to Him. But as I understand God's love and as I return it to Him, we see this in 1 John, that love then, Jesus said, that's how you are to love others. That love spills over with a love that's consistent and faithful and a love that I get behind and put effort into and a love that shows, bind them around my neck. Everyone sees this and a love that's stimulated from a pure heart. But all of these passages, including this one, have a command and promise. So what's the promise in verse 4? He says, if you do this, if you let love and faithfulness never leave you, if you bind them around your neck, if you write them on the tablet of your heart, what is the promise? It says, then you will have favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Let me ask you, what's that worth to you? What's it worth to you to have favor from God, favor and a good name in the sight of God and man? What does this mean? Well, listen, when you love others with a true heart, what does this do? It naturally produces favor with others. It may not initially produce that with people around you, but they begin to see you and understand you. And they see this genuine love. And as they look at you and they watch you and they see this consistency, and you see that you're not bragging about it, but it's just showing like a necklace that you're wearing. And it's true and genuine. And they test it. They say, is it really? And they push you, but you just keep loving them. You just keep obeying God. What do? They begin to go, oh my goodness, if that's what it means to know God, then I want to know Him. It brings favor to God. It brings a reputation that represents God well. Others see Jesus in us, and they notice. And according to the text, God notices too. So let me just challenge us today. Love others with a true heart. Because of the love you and I have received from our Heavenly Father, we can love others just like that. As Christians, sometimes we're not very good lovers, right? But we ought to be the best lovers because we've received and seen modeled a true love. We've got it. We've seen it in the cross. We've received it in our lives. We ought to show that love better than anyone else. So let me just ask you, do you have a love problem? I know today as I teach this, I'm convicted by several areas of my life, and you may be as well. But some of the reasons that some of us have a love problem is because we've got a God problem. You see, the power to love is not something you can just figure out or muster up or just try really harder to love that lady that drives you crazy at work, right? No. True love comes from a relationship with God. It begins by receiving God. So let me ask you, has there been a time and a place in your life when you come into a relationship with God through Jesus? Has there been a time when you realize you were a sinner? Now, if you're like me, that's not all that hard to realize. I know that I do wrong things. I see those things in my life. I know and believe that all of us have sinned, that sin separates me from God, that's not what heaven looks like, and that I can't be there with this sin in my life, right? And the gospel is to realize that God not only recognized that, but He loved us and did something about it. We've already said God's love shows, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that God sent His only Son, Jesus, to earth to die on a cross for us, to be beaten for us, to be whipped for us, to go through agony for us, and to be nailed to a cross and suffer and bleed and die for us. And I know that a lot of you today are like, well, that's easy. Check and check. I know I'm a sinner. Check. I know and believe in God. Good. I'm all good. Listen, no. There's a lot of people who believe all that stuff and nothing's ever changed in their life. Fact is, you know some of those people. Some of them are in your family. Some other people around you. Because There's also involved in this a receiving of this. Romans 10:13 says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Has there been a moment when you've done that? Seems like I'm running into more and more people that I ask them, tell me about when you came into a relationship with Jesus. And here's what they say. At least 2 or 3 out of 5 now tell me, I've always been a Christian. Listen, let me just remind you today, you can't always be a Christian. Because you were born a sinner. There has to be a moment in your life. I ask somebody, you tell me about when, and they're like, well, I don't know the date and the time. You don't need to know the date and the time, but listen, you don't just gradually become a Christian. Now granted, there's a progression and a journey, and I get all that when God's drawing you to Himself, but listen, I can't find that in Scripture. What I find every time in commanding an example is that there was somebody who's lost who becomes saved. There's a change. So has that happened to you? Our churches are full of so many cultural Christians that had an experience one time and they think they're good, but they've never changed. Have you met Jesus? Maybe the reason you have a love problem is because you have a God problem. And today, nothing would be better than for you to come into a relationship with God through Jesus. You're like, Tim, how in the world would I do that? You already know, right? You probably heard it a bunch of times, but it's for you to ask Him. You pray a prayer. There's no certain prayer that saves you, but the Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord. I don't know how else to do that but to pray. So I know for me, when I was 7, it was to say to God, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that my sin separates me from You. And I believe in You, Jesus. And in my own words, I just asked Him to come into my life and forgive me. And you can do that too today. And God will change you. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would take Your word and deliver it straight to the hearts of all of us today. That we would see and know and understand what You're saying to us. That we would let love and faithfulness never leave us. We would bind that around our neck. We'd write it on the tablet of our heart. Because then we're going to have good favor with men and You, God. And we want that. We want that, God. We want to love others like You loved us. We received the love from You, and it's amazing, God. Thank You. Thank You for loving us. We don't feel very lovable, but You love us. Thank You. God, because You love us like that, we're told by You and we want to love others, but it's not easy. So I pray that we would take these principles from Your word and love like that. And for those who are here today who do not know You, they've never come into a relationship with You, or they're not sure, or maybe they're basing whatever it is they call their salvation on some experience they had, but there's been no real change in them. They just started going to church. Would You show them, God, that they need You? Would You help them invite You into their lives? And will You change them like I've seen You change my life and so many others? Don't let us settle for the fake when we can have the real deal. Move in this place through Your word and through the power of Your word today. I ask it in Jesus' name.